Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills from which cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord. I just thank you, Lord, for your help. Thank you, Lord, for being there in the midst, in the time of trouble. We just thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, thank you, Lord, for always keeping your promise, and that is for never leaving us nor forsaking us. Well, hello, 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 hello. I know you all are used to hearing Pastor D, but the minister staff of Fuse Memorial has taken Pastor's access card away, access denied. He is taking a well-deserved vacation. So the minister staff, let's praise the Lord. Let us give God some praise this morning because we know where all of our help coming from. Amen.
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 Hallelujah.
Yes. I am Minister Tremaine Townsend, and I will be your special guest host this morning. And we just thank you for joining us in the Fuse Memorial Worship Experience. It is time for a Holy Ghost party, so let us get this started. Amen.
Amen.
Time is filled with swift transition. Not on earth can move can stand. Build your hopes on things eternal. Hold to God's unchanging hand. Hold to his hand, God's unchanging hand. Hold to his hand, God's unchanging hand. Build your hopes on things eternal. Hold to God's unchanging hand. Trust in him who will not leave you. Whatsoever years may bring, when your earthly friends forsake you, still more closely to him cling. Trust in him who will not leave you. Whatsoever years may bring, when your earthly friends forsake you, still more closely to him cling. You had a hold to his hand, God's unchanging hand. Hold to his hand, God's unchanging hand. Build your hopes on things eternal. Hold to God's unchanging hand. Hold to his hand, God's unchanging hand. Hold to his hand, God's unchanging hand. Build your hopes on things eternal. Hold to God's unchanging hand. Amen.
Amen.
We will now have our affirmation of faith by Minister Kyle Garrett, followed by an invocation by Reverend Patricia Johnson.
Amen. Let us unite together in the historic Christian faith. In whom do we believe? I believe in God, the Father Almighty, the maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he arose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen.
Amen. Invocation.
Our help is in the name of the Lord, without whom our assembly is in vain. Come, O thou, who has been our help in age past, and bless us with thy presence. Flow in our hearts and between us one and all, that through you we will be linked one with another through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen. Our New Testament scripture this week is from the book of Romans 28. And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. The word of God for his people. Praise be to God. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you so much, Minister Kyle, Reverend Patricia Johnson, and Minister Lisa. Our announcements. Our quarterly conference with our presiding elder has been postponed. Mr. D will give us another date. Amen. This is our only announcement that we have. Just remember to please be safe. Take care of yourself and take care of each other. Amen. Now we will have we have a very, very special guest. And it is our very own Ms. Rachel Fuse. Ms. Rachel, she will be speaking on behalf of the Usher Board number one. Amen.
Two.
I apologize, number two.
Thank you. Good evening, everyone. Usher Board number two was organized in 1946 under the pastorage of Reverend D.E. Fullwood, here at Fuse Memorial CME Church. Through the many years of spiritual growth, our board has tried to serve as a symbol to all. Serving the Lord is an integral part of our lives. We continue to do it in our work for the Lord, working toward one day to be that doorkeeper in heaven. We are celebrating 75 years of service at Fuse. We are proud of our board. We have had many wonderful, hardworking board members in our 75 years of service. Our past presidents were Sister Lula Fuse, Sister Minnie Carrington, Brother Joseph Moak Sr., Sister Eleanor Lewis, Sister Juanita Roby, Sister Louise Van Pelt, Sister Revivian Johnson, Sister Nellie Peyton Moak, Sister Maddie Johnson, O.C. Hawkins, Sister Relitha Moak, Sister Dale Woosin, Paulette O'Neill Campbell, and Sister Hazel Moak. This past year, our last charter member, Sister Relitha Moak, made her transition from labor to reward in her 91st year of life. Our current members are our monarch, Mrs. Hazel Moak. She is celebrating her 96th year of life. We are so blessed that she is still an active member of our board. She is a wonderful blessing to all of us here at Fuse Memorial. Our current members continue with Gloria Hudson as a secretary. Vivian Parks is our chaplain. Brother Don Durham is our Sergeant of Arms, and Carlton Bruce. And yours truly, I am Rachel Fuse, the current president, and our pastor is Reverend Dante Townsend. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you so much, Ms. Rachel, for that wonderful history of the Usher Board. You guys are so such an intricate part of the ministry. You guys are the first face that we see with your beautiful smiles, and we just thank you so much for being the gatekeeper of our house.
Thank you.
Amen. You're welcome.
Amen.
We'll now have our altar call by Reverend Patricia Johnson, and followed by that, we will hear our beautiful songbird, exhorter Annette McKinney.
Good morning, Lord, from our hearts with love, joy, and peace. Heal our family, children, and give them protection from harm and danger. Feed our families that are hungry and give them shelter. Heal the sick and comfort the Breed family and Rachel Hughes family as well that has lost loved ones. Lord, give us the strength to understand you and that everything will be all right. Guide us in the right direction so that we will know you. Lord, teach our tree that hate is not your way. Teach them that you created all people and that you created them, all of them equally. Help us find the love that you instill in our hearts that we may be better human beings. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. John 3, chapter 16, verse. Amen.
God is a good God. He's a great God. He can do anything but fail. He has moved so many mountains out of my way. Oh, God is a wonderful God. God is a good God. He's a great God. He can do anything but fail. He has moved so many mountains out of my way. Oh, God is a wonderful God. How great is our God. Oh, great is our God. Great. How great is our God. How great is our God. Oh, how great is our God. How great. How great is our God. Let's say it one more time. How great is our God. Oh, yeah. How great is our God. Great. How great is our God. God is a good God. He's a great God. He can do anything but fail. Oh, yeah. He has moved so many, many mountains out of my way. Oh, God is a wonderful God. God is a good God. He's a great God. He can do anything but fail. Oh, yeah, he has moved so many mountains out of my way. Oh, God is a wonderful God. Oh, God is a wonderful God. Oh, God is a wonderful God.
Thank you. And I meant that from my heart, because he has brought me from a mighty, mighty, mighty long way.
Amen. 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 God is such a wonderful, wonderful God. Amen. The things that he does for us, we are so undeserving. But by his love that he has for us, he loves us so much that he does it. So we just can't thank him enough.
Amen.
And you are a very living testimony, Miss Annette, as to how great and how wonderful.
Yes, ma'am. Amen. Hallelujah.
Now,
thank you. I'm sorry.
Amen. Now we are in for a very, very, very special treat. We are going to be blessed by a word from a powerhouse preacher from our very own Reverend Roslyn Thomas. She is anointed. She is appointed. And we just thank God for her. And we are so looking forward to this word that she has prepared for us this morning. So let's welcome her as she comes to the table. Amen.
Good morning, saints. How many know God is a good God? He is a great God, and he never fails. And he's never failed me yet.
Amen.
Giving honor to God who is ahead of my life, I want to thank my God for waking me up this morning to see a brand new day. To Townsend this morning for allowing me to speak to his sheep and give them a word from the Lord. I would also like to thank the ministerial staff and Hakeem and Michelle for this HubNet radio station, allowing us to bring the word of God to his people. Heavenly Father, thank you for using me in your ministry. Thank you for guiding me thus far and granting me your grace. Even now, Lord, you know the purpose for which I have come to you today. Lord, fill me with the same grace, anointing, and power so that I can preach your word boldly and with authority. Speak, Lord. Scripture is that you heard so eloquently read by Minister Lisa Green, Romans 8:28. And we know that all things work together for good, but only if certain conditions are met. To them who love God, the first condition. To them who are called according to his purpose. This means in his purpose and not ours. Second condition. Otherwise, all things will not work together for our good. Thank you for going through and know what it is when you get through. My subject today is hope in the time of suffering. Romans 8:28 is one of the most well-known verses in the Bible. We know that all things work together for good of those who love God. For many people, this verse is a source of tremendous hope. But for others, Romans 8:28 feels like salt on their open wound. For those who have suffered greatly, it can be difficult to imagine what kind of good might arise from their tragic situation. What silver lining is there when a couple loses a child? What possible good could come from a father abandoning his family to start over with a new one? What greater good is God to when a car accident leaves a person paralyzed? Romans 8:28 should be a verse of comfort, but in the midst of profound suffering, still feel abandoned by God, rejected, cursed. Have you ever dealt with someone in this kind of situation? Have you ever gone through something like this yourself? If you haven't, you will at some point in your life, and when you do, you'll need to remember. God uses Romans 8 to give you hope in suffering. You've been adopted into his family. You are a beloved child, and your father sees you in your suffering. Whatever else is happening in your pain, you can be sure that your Father hasn't left you alone in it. You are his child, and his heart is bound up with yours. What you feel, he feels. When you weep, he weeps. God is using all to more like Jesus. People Romans 8:28 often overlook the rest of the verse, which may be the most important part. We know that all things work together for the good of those who love God, who are called according to his purpose. And what is that purpose? For those he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son. God's purpose in your life is to make you more like Jesus. The good, Romans 8 talks about it, not giving you better circumstances, as if every bad event will automatically lead to a greater one later on. The good of Romans 8 is God making you a better you. That is, more like Jesus. Invariable, at every moment, God is working towards that. That painful chapter in your marriage, that betrayal at work, that chronic illness, all of it was for that end. And there will come a time, if you submit to God in faith, when you see that all the painful chapters, all the headaches and tears and disabilities and disadvantage and disappointments were used by God for one purpose, to mold you more into the image of Jesus. Paul is trying to memorize your present suffering. He was, after all, a man who suffered greatly himself, trying to give you hope for a day when that suffering will be swallowed up in something greater. You may not see it in this life, but not a single second of your suffering is wasted. Not one thing happens in your life that the goodness of our God will not one day transform into glory. In a world consumed by pain, corruption, and futility, this is hope you can cling to for life. Not one thing happens in your life that the goodness of our God will not one day transform into glory, without question. This is one of the grandest promises in the Bible, other than John 3:16. No passage of Scripture covers more territory or offers more hope and encouragement than Romans 8:28. If understood and applied properly, this great verse can transform your whole outlook on life. Thank you for going through and know what it is when you get through. To appreciate more fully its meaning, let's look at one part at a time. First, the promise is given. Fire writer says that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. This promise is addressed not to those who merely acknowledge God's existence, but to those who love God. They love him because they have responded positively to his call to salvation. In other words, it is a promise to those who have repented of their sins and have by faith received Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. They have, by the enlightening power of the Holy Spirit, come to understand that it was love and sent Jesus to the cross to shed his blood and take the punishment for our sins. And they have said yes to him. Coming into that saving relationship with Jesus ignites within our hearts a love for him. 1 John 4:19 says, we love him because he first loved us. How can you know if you really have been saved and therefore love God? What is the proof? The proof is not in having your name on some church roll somewhere or in merely talking a good game. The proof as to whether or not you've really been saved and love God is in whether or not you are living in obedience to him. Jesus said in John, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. The person who has truly responded to God's call to salvation and as a result loves God. Don't just say it, he shows it. He isn't flawless by any stretch of the imagination, but he has changed. His life has been cleaned up and lifted to a new wholesome level. He sincerely strives to obey the Lord in all areas of life. And when he stumbles, he gets up, brushes himself off, asks God for forgiveness, and at it again. And as he utilized such resources as prayer, Bible reading, and worship, he becomes increasingly consistent in his daily walk and experiences an ever-increasing degree of victory over temptation. So there are many folks who profess to be Christians who can't claim Romans 8:28, because this promise is only for those who live lives prove that they are for real. Thank you for going through and know what it is when you get through. Two, and we know, he didn't say, and we see. Paul wasn't always able to see how God was working things out for good. Through sometimes he was, but there is such a thing as knowledge that is based not on sight, but on faith. I know that God is real. Although I've never seen him, I know that heaven is real. Even though I haven't been there yet, it is not arrogant. It is not presumptuous to say, I know, when you're basing that claim on statements that the almighty sovereign God of the universe has made in his errant word. I, as a believer, know that Romans 8:28 is true, not because of any insights that I've had and not because of any consensus of man. I know it is true because God said it. It's that simple. Yes, he said it through the Apostle Paul. Nevertheless, God who said it. In committing on the certainty of God's promise, the late F.B. Meyer said, if any promise of God should fail, the heavens would close themselves in sackcloth. The sun, the moon, and the stars would reel from their courses, and a hollow wind would moan through a ruined creation. But there is no danger of that ever happening. Titus 1:2 reminds us that God cannot lie. He keeps his promises. He always has, and he always will. In Malachi 3:6, he says, for I am the Lord. I change not. Hebrews 13:8 speaks of Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. Thank you for going through and know what it is when you get through. Number three, work together for good. The reason some people find this promise hard to believe is that they have tried to impose on this verse their own limit concept of what is good. We tend to think of good as being limited to vibrant health, material prosperity, smooth sailing, or happy relationships. And no doubt, such blessings are good and are part of God's plan for some folks, although not for everyone. But whatever other good the Lord may bring about in our lives, the highest good that can come to any of us is to become more like Jesus. And the context makes it clear. That is the good upon which Paul is focusing in Romans 8:28. He goes on to make that clear in Romans 8:29. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestine to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. So that is God's primary purpose. If we love him, then he is using the events of our lives to fashion us into the likeness of his beloved son. Not only is that the greatest personal blessing that can come to us, but the more conformed we become to the image of Christ, God will be able to use us to bless others, our family members, our neighbors, our co-workers, our fellow believers. And the more God will be able to use us to reach the lost. Galatians 1:17 speaks of Christ in you, the hope of glory, the only hope of some people coming to know the Lord and thus glorifying God in their lives is for them to first see Jesus in you. Without a doubt, the most wonderful thing that can happen to any person is to become more Christ-like. If God be, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him for us all. How shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Thank you again for going through and know what it is when you get through. Number four, all things. Paul said that all things work together for good to them that love God. What a tremendous sweeping statement. And mind you, this was no fair weather Christian writing those words. He was a battle-scarred veteran of the cross. In one passage, he gave us a catalog of the woes he had endured. rejection by his own, hunger, thirst, loneliness, sickness, prison robbery, fortune, shipwreck, and yet he says, we know that all things, not some things, or even most things, but all things work together for good to them that love God. He did not say that all things are good. Certainly Paul knew, and we all know, that many things are not good in themselves. Disease, pain, abuse, broken relationships, immoral conduct, persecution, killing, and a multitude of other things that could be named. Paul never said that these things are good. What he did say was that all things, whatever their cause or nature, can be used by God to bring out good in our lives. All things includes those things that result from our own mistakes or the mistakes of others or some.
Take your time now.
Or others, or some combination of the two. All things include those things that God sends and those that he merely permits. God most certainly does not imitate everything which happens, initiate everything that happens. The Bible makes it clear that he does send some things which are hard-hitting, but other things he only permits. Broken heart, rather than override our power to choose. He also permits some other things, which as far as we can tell, are not directly related to any choice of man. And we are baffled as to why God allows them to occur. But as we struggle with life complexities and unanswerable questions, we need to remember that all of God's dealings with us are in love, even when we can't begin to understand them. And one of these days, one of these old days when we Christians get to glory, the enigmas of life will be cleared up. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 13:12, for now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. In the meantime, we are to walk by to Romans 8:28. There are times in life when we are so disappointed, so wounded, so confused, so angry, so beaten down, that we have to cling to Romans 8:28 in order to keep our sanity. God can and does bring good out even the worst of situations, but that doesn't mean that is good. Then after all, that happened, nor does it mean, as some people are prone to say, that everything happens for the best. For example, I read recently of a man going into a place of business and brutally murdering two innocent people. It would have been better if that horrible atrocity had not happened. But when Paul wrote that, all things work together for good to them that love God, what he did mean was that even through some things, even though some things are not good in themselves, but in fact are horrific, God is in the salvage business. And if we will, in love for Christ, yield the broken pieces to him, he will miraculously bring good even out of life's most terrible tragedies, all of them. In the book of Genesis, read how Joseph's brother cast him into a pit intending to kill him, but then decided instead to sell him into slavery. They lied to their father, Jacob, about what had happened to Joseph. But as time passed, Joseph, who had been taken to Egypt as a slave, prime minister and responsible for saving Egypt and much of the world from a dying of a famine. After Jacob's death, the brothers then feared that Joseph would retaliate for the terrible things they had done to him years early. But Joseph put their minds to rest and said in Genesis 50:20, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass that it is in these days to save much people alive. Thank you for going through and know what it is when you get through. Last but not least, working together. My grandmother used to make what she called a pound cake. It was delicious. We always look forward to that delicacy on the holidays. I'm telling you, one bite of that pound cake would, as my granddaddy might have said, make a rabbit hug a hound. Now, a few of the ingredients would have been all right if eaten by themselves, the icing and the cake batter, for instance. But most of the ingredients would have been very unappetizing if eating alone. Who would want to sit down to a plate of baking soda or a plate of flour or a plate of salt? But my grandma knew how to mix those other ingredients together such a way, in like manner. Many of life events, in order for us to make any sense of them, have to be viewed not in isolation, but rather in part of a larger whole. We have to remember that God is seeing to it that those events work together for good. Think about that high-powered medicine that your doctor prescribed for you recently. That drug is likely a compound of elements which is taken at one time would cause you severe illness or even kill you. But because it was mixed together by a knowledgeable scientist at the manufacturing plant or by a skilled pharmacist at the store where you brought it, that medicine brought relief and healing to your body. In like manner, the events in a person's life could be ultimately evaluated by themselves individually. Each event must be related to the great plan which God is working out in that person's life. Some situations, though, don't seem to make any sense, even when viewed as part of the whole. But you can count on it. If you yield ourselves and our brokenness to Christ in love, he will somehow bring good from those situations in spite of their apparent meaninglessness. We may not be able to see it at the time, but one of these days, here or hereafter, we'll be able to say with the poet, God was better to me than all my hopes and better than all my fears, for he made a bridge of my broken sides and a rainbow out of my tears. There was a terrible shipwreck. Only one man survived, and he managed to swim to a small, uninhabited island. Day after day, he prayed for God to send help. But as he looked out over the horizon, he saw nothing but tossing waves and foam. In the meantime, he gathered scraps of wood that had drifted in from the shipwreckage and began building a shelter from the elements. After days of wearisome labor, finally his little hut was finished, and he was so grateful for the limited protection it offered. He had managed also to salvage a little bit of food from the wreckage, but it was about gone. Late one day toward evening, after cooking his meager meal on an open fire, he decided to go for a walk along the beach. He got back to find that his little hut had caught fire and it had burned to the ground. He was overwhelmed and frustrated with grief and wept in despair. Finally, after little tossing and turning all night, he managed to go to sleep. To his astonishment, the next morning, he was awakened by the sound of a ship headed. When he was safely aboard, he thanked the captain and crew profusely for rescuing him. But he said, I'm puzzled. How did you happen to come to such a remote island? The captain said, why, we saw your signal fire. Thank you for going through and know what it is when you get through. In my conclusion, in like manner, God can use the painful, frustrating, heartbreaking situations in your life and mine to bring about good. So don't throw in the towel. Don't give up. Don't quit. Hang in there. Trust in God and cling to Romans 8:28. But as emphasized at the outset, in order for that promise to be applicable to your life, be sure that you've repented of your sins and by faith receive Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. And be sure that as a believer, you're giving him first priority in your life and living in loving obedience. Jesus said in Matthew 6:33, but seek kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Hope in the time of suffering. Remember, thank you for going through and know what it is when you get through. And we know, Christians, that all things work together for good to them who love God. All things, and to them who are called according to his purpose. All things. Amen. I say all things, saints, all things.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And amen. All things. Thank you, Lord. All things. Thank you, Father.
Thank you, Father. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Yes, together, according to his purpose. Don't give up. Don't lose hope. And just keep remembering that all things work together for them who love the Lord according to his purpose. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you so much, Reverend Rosalind. I told you, you all were in for a treat, and she brought the word by the power of the Holy Ghost. Thank you so much, Reverend Rosalind, for that wonderful, inspiring word.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Minister Townsend and
Amen.
Minister Elstead.
We'll now have our invitation by Reverend Patricia Johnson. After that, we'll have the doxology, and then we will yield to the Reverend Rosalind Thomas for our benediction. Amen.
The door of the church is open. Is there anyone ready and willing to accept God into your life? The Lord said to us, come as you are. I will lead you. The door of the church is open. Come, be the disciple of the Almighty.
Amen.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him above the heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost.
Amen. Amen. Remember, hope in the time of suffering. Thank you for going through and know what it is when you get through. He did it for me, so I know he can do it for you. Stay the course. Fight the fight. Be loving. Be humble. Be patient. Be kind and be obedient to his will and his way, always serving God and his people. May the strength of God sustain us. May the power of God preserve us. May the hands of God protect us. May the way of God direct us. May the love of God go with us this day and forever. The Lord bless us and keep us. The Lord make his face to shine upon us and be gracious unto us. And let the church say, amen, amen, and amen.
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 Amen. On behalf of Pastor D. Townsend in his absence, on behalf of the ministerial staff, on behalf of Ms. Rachel Hughes, our usher board number 2 president, we thank you, Sister Michelle and Brother Hakim, for this platform that you have provided for us to be able to continue our worship service during this trying time. We can't thank you enough, and we pray a special blessing upon each and every one of you and your family.
It is our pleasure.
Thank you. May God bless you and keep you, each and every one. This is the Jubilee Affair at the Fuse Memorial CME Church, and we're signing bless and rest of your Sunday. Amen.
for thy foot to be moved. The Lord which keeps